where the sin of the world was laid upon you, Lord God. So all of us here today, seated here today, could have a heart filled with love and a heart filled with forgiveness and a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving unto you, Lord God, bringing us all the way back home to Father God again. That third day resurrection, Lord God, we celebrate an empty tomb. We celebrate a risen Lord. We celebrate a soon coming King for all of us. We love you. We bless you, Lord God. We yield ourselves to you. I yield myself to you. My brothers and sisters here yield themselves to you. We want to hear what you would speak to our hearts this day. Something that will be said, a passage, a word, a song, Lord God, to minister to the heart and lives of your people, Lord. For we know the time is short, Lord. We're in the final roundup, Lord. Oh, Lord, what glorious day that will be when that trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up to you, Lord. As the scripture says, to forever or to ever be with you, Lord. So we just welcome your presence right now. Come and minister by Holy Spirit right now. Have your way. Take these lips, Lord God, of clay. By the anointing of your Holy Spirit, cause my heart and my mind, Lord God, to go in the direction you'd have me go. Cause my brothers and sisters here right now to be settled, Lord God. Settled and have ears to hear and to receive and to become what the Word of God says. We thank you, Lord God, for your transforming work in surrendered hearts and lives right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I will begin this morning reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul addressing a problem here in the church about those who want to side with certain teachers or with certain people. Some of you say that I'm of Paul. Others say that I'm of Apollos, verse 12. Or I'm of Cephas or Peter. Or I'm of Christ. Then he asks the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Verse 17. For Christ did not send me, this is Paul writing this, to baptize, but to preach the what? The gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And he did it with what? Not with the wisdom of words. Not with the wisdom of words. We must depend upon the Holy Spirit, even right now. Every day of our lives, we acknowledge right now the presence of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit within your life right now. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. How many of it was to us foolishness when we first heard it? We first heard of something that took place almost 2,000 years ago. And how could a man 2,000 years ago have any effect on my life today? But we have come to a place and an understanding by the Holy Spirit, the quickening of the Holy Spirit, making a personal reality to us. A personal reality of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago as a present truth to our lives today. And it says here, but to us who are being saved, I would like to declare this morning the power of God. The power of the resurrected Jesus Christ is here even right now. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Most of you know me. I'm just a man of plain words. I'm not eloquent, but I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do a work with inside you right now. Matter of fact, today that I just know that in a place of weakness, that there's a great strength here right now. There's a wonder of Jesus here even right now. There's an ability that he's even providing, a grace that is flowing even at this moment to all of you. No matter what you have faced, no matter what you have been through in life, there is a presence and a grace and favor of God to you right now. right here, right now. Just open yourself. Be available. Don't look at a vessel. Don't look at a human vessel. Open your heart right now to the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Open yourself right now to the love of the Father that's here. I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. What do I want to know? I want to know exactly what Paul's saying here in verse 2. What do I want to know among you? What do I want to know what's going on inside your life? Where is the finished work of Jesus Christ working in you? Where is the Word of God working in you? How is that love of God being displayed in you? How has He changed your life? What truth has He been speaking to you? What revelation has He been teaching you? All as the result of what Jesus Christ has done. I want to know where the crucified, dead, risen Lord of glory is working within your life. Amen, because that is where we connect. We connect right there at the crossroad. We connect right there at the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to know what He's doing in you. And I know that He's doing something in me even right now. And my speech and my preaching, they're not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but I'm expecting right now the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Verse 5, that your faith should not be in anything that comes from man, in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Once again, Father God, I just acknowledge your presence here among your people. Speak, minister, love, draw to yourself right now, Father. There's many, Lord God. There's many that you're drawing even right now, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you'll just speak and have your way in our hearts and lives. In my heart, my life, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 118. It's a psalm, it's a prophetic psalm. It's a prophetic song that speaks of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we get up and we'll say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we talk of this day today. But what was this referring to here when it's spoken of in Psalm 118? Let's read a few verses here and see where this takes us this morning. Beginning at verse 14, it says, the Lord is my strength and song. Let me ask you today, do you depend on Him? And do you have a song in your heart? How's your life going? When it's difficult, is there a song that comes forth? Is there a rejoicing that can happen with inside you? He says, why here? He tells us why. He has become my salvation. Verse 21. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Can all of you thank the Lord right now that He has become your salvation? Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for becoming my salvation. And then look what it says here in verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And here's that verse that we say. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's referring back to the time of Jesus' rejection. It's referring back when the religious leaders of Jesus' days, they rejected Him as the Messiah. They did not see that He was the one to come and redeem mankind from their sin. And all they could do, they remember at one point in time when the multitudes were drawing near to Jesus, they got jealous. They got jealous. And they couldn't even see that their Redeemer, Jesus, the promised one, from Genesis chapter 3, all the way forward through Malachi, the last prophet in the New Testament. The Lord came, the messenger of God came, and delivered a message, and they couldn't see the Redeemer right before their eyes, and they rejected Him. And it says over here, let's give a confirming word in the book of Acts. Remember in Acts chapter 4, I believe it's Acts chapter 4 here. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man who had been lame from his mother's womb, and the Word of God tells us that he had been in that condition for over 40 years. And they didn't have any money to give to him. But what they did have, they gave to him. And they just simply said, look at us. And that lame man gave them their attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. This should be a mark of your life also. You shouldn't be a bump on a log, should you? You should be walking and leaping and praising God, especially this day that we celebrate his day, the day where that cross, we've got all kinds of crosses here today. We've got some white crosses, we've got a wood one there, and we've got one there that celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? And then over here, let's just take it to where this Psalm 118 comes up. And then Peter, he gives this message and tells people that the same way that this lame man was healed, that they could be healed within their hearts. They could be healed on the inside. And he says this, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Chapter 3, verse 19. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Father, I'm just thanking you right now for times of refreshing to your people here. I'm thanking you, Father, right now for those that are having a difficulty, Lord. For those who may even be a little bit far from you. For those, Lord God, that, yeah, yes, I should be rejoicing today. I should be walking and leaping and praising you, Lord God. But there's a work that you're doing even in their hearts right now, so that by the time that we end here today, Lord, that they can walk and they can leap and they can praise you, Lord God. For you will have become, Lord God, a greater revelation of your salvation to their lives, to all of our lives. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, Peter and John, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. These are the builders that Psalm 118 was talking about, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached. What did they preach? In Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Do all of you have that hope here today? Do all of you have that hope? That number one, have you been resurrected with inside your heart? Does the resurrected life and power of Jesus dwell within you? But do you also believe that there's coming a time, that there's coming a time in the future that you will also receive a resurrected body just like Jesus? But in between that time of your salvation and that time when we get a resurrected body, there is life for you in Jesus right now. Amen? There's a presence of God for you right now. There's a display of God for you right now. There is even a love and a speaking of God, the Father, to you right now. I believe that the Father is speaking to many hearts. And if you'll just allow right now, and if you'll just dare, Father, what is it you want to speak to me? What is it you want to communicate to me this morning? I want to hear from you, Father God. They put him in prison. And the next day, in verse 5, it says, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many, as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Once again, these are the builders. These were the ones who were supposed to anticipate Jesus coming. But the prophecy so many years before, so many hundreds of years before, said that they would reject Jesus Christ. And when they had set them in their midst, Peter and John, they asked, by what power, by what ability, by what miraculous power have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, and by what means he has been made well,
let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by him, this man stands here before you whole. Now, before I just read the next verse, because the next verse is that word, is that prophetic word from Psalm 118. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. God raised him from the dead. And that by him, it says that this man stands there whole today. Are you whole? Are you whole today? Is there an area that Jesus needs to speak into your life today? Is there an area that you've reserved? Is there something today that you need to allow Jesus to come into that area? Because it says he wants to make you whole. That talks about in your spirit. Well, we know that we've been redeemed in our spirit. But in your soul, in your mind, in your thinking, and in your emotions, there's some tough lessons that I learned this past week. Some wonderful lessons. Some difficult things that the Lord was speaking to my heart. But you know what I love so much? That he wants to make me whole as much as he wants to make you whole. In every area of your life. That even if you've been damaged in your emotions or things that have happened to you by religious people, we may have a finger to point. You may have a finger to point. I may have a finger to point. But guess what? All of our fingers and all of our hands should go up and surrender to Jesus this day. Because truly, the question that we should ask is what Jesus asked those people when they wanted to stone that woman who was caught in adultery. You know, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act. And the law says she should be stoned. Can you just imagine some of these people just grabbing that rock? Pff, pff. But what do you say? Pff. Can you just imagine? Okay, they're just ready just to pelt her. And what did Jesus say? He who is without sin cast the first stone. You see, if we look for something in somebody, we'll always find something in somebody. If we look for an area that needs to be changed, you'll see that area that needs to be changed. If you look for a fault, you'll find a fault. But if God shows you an area where a person is deficit in, where they're short in, where they're coming up, where they're just not making it, don't use that against them. Use that in a prayer for them so that they can be made whole in that area. Amen? This is what he's wanting to do. Because just as Jesus said that they all left from the oldest to the youngest, the one who committed the more sins to the one who just hadn't committed as many sins. And he says, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. May we be less people that accuse and be more people that offer forgiveness and the love of God. Let us help bring people to the cross. Let us help bring people to Jesus Christ so that they may be made whole, so they can walk and so that they can leap and so that they can praise God, so they can say what it says in Psalm 118. This is the day that they begin experiencing some wholeness within their life. Maybe this is going to be a day for you. Maybe there's some wholeness that God is bringing into you today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. You see the plurality of that? Not just I, we. We need to do it together as a body. Come together collectively and worship the Lord. Amen? And so look what he goes on here to say. And he puts it right back at these people who crucified Jesus. These builders. In verse 11 of Acts chapter 4. This is the stone. Jesus is the stone. Which was rejected by... Look where he puts it here. He changes the scripture. You builders, the religious people, the high priest, the priests. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, or the chief cornerstone of the salvation of our lives. Look what he goes on here to say. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, no other name under heaven given among men or among people by which we must be saved. Do you have it settled with inside your heart that there's only one way home to Father God? And that's through Jesus Christ. And is that testimony alive in you and alive upon your lips? Do we have that desire? What you have, as it says in Acts chapter 3, such as I have, I give unto you. Ask God for a lame person today. Ask God that he would put a lame person across your path. Someone who isn't right in their life. Someone who's deficit spiritually. Someone who's messed up in the head or messed up in their body. That he wants you to reach out even in your present condition. This past week was, like I said, a difficult week for me. And the Lord, as he ministered to my heart, as he ministered to my life, how many of you know that at times when we experience things in life that we can do things to try to cover up something else? And when pain was introduced into our family, and Christine and I family, that there was this time of mourning, but when this mourning would hit me, I would find myself working. I would go to work. I would do something to keep my mind occupied. And then there was this, as many of you know, there's these exercises I do to help strengthen my neck muscles, and I would overdo it. And any time that this sensation of missing my son would come to my foreknowledge, I would throw myself into work. I would throw myself into doing things to my own detriment. To my own detriment. To my own destruction of my health. And it was during that time of being immobile, not able to move, we had a time of prayer, that prayer night on Tuesday. Carter Conlon spoke a message 2 weeks ago. He spoke a message, and he used to have this spirit of fear, how did he describe it, this thing that used to come upon him, these panic attacks. Well, I don't have panic attacks, but I was able to relate what he said. Pastor Carter Conlon, if you don't know who he is, he's a senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. And he said that he would throw himself into work. He would go to the gym and exercise beyond strength and beyond ability just to get so wore out not to have these panic attacks. And that's when the Lord started slowly speaking to my heart. You're doing the same, but in a different way. You're doing the same in a different way. And God wanted me to lay certain things down, and he wanted to bring some health and healing with inside me, in my spirit, in my soul. But I was damaging my body in the process. Oh, glorious Savior, wonderful Lord. And it's amazing that during this time, as the Lord was speaking to my heart, even in a time of immobility, just being silent before the Lord, the wondrous cross, the blood of Jesus, the unaccusing hand of God outstretched, the love of God manifest, the beckoning of God to come to him. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and that he would give rest to my soul. And as these things were ministered, I'm sitting there, and a text comes through. Do you believe that when you're in a time of weakness, do you believe that when you're in a time of difficulty, when you feel completely useless, that God can still use you? Do you know that at the time of your greatest weakness is some of your greatest ministry? Because you can no longer trust in your own ability. You must trust in the ability of God. And here's this message that comes through. And I changed some of the words. Is that amazing? Here it is. I changed some of the words to this ministry text. Ministry text to a friend experiencing a very difficult time in his life with family heartache. Can any of you relate to that? Family heartache, child gone astray, job troubles, and relationship conflicts. That probably should touch every one of us at some place. He starts the text out this way. I've been tossed to the curb. I feel like a pile of compost. That's the sanitized, mildly put. Here's my response, but I've changed some of the wording so he wouldn't be identified. Please read this when you have some time. Now, it's amazing that no matter what condition you find yourself in, if you will yield to the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will use your life to benefit somebody else's life. Don't look at your present condition. Look at the ability of God. Paul was able to say, when he sought the Lord three times for the spirit of infirmity, Jesus said, my grace, my ability, my favor, my influence upon your heart is more than enough for you, Paul. And then Paul was able to get to a place that he was able to say that in weakness and in trembling and in weariness and in toil, he says he rejoiced so that the power of Christ may rest upon him. I want to tell you that some of your greatest weaknesses, that what Jesus Christ did, there's a passage that says that he became poor in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8. He became poor that you might be made rich. And so there are times that we do experience poorness, weakness. I don't understand things going on. But it was in his weakness where it looked like a complete, utter defeat was God's greatest triumph, victory, and glory, our redemption, our salvation. And so you have to realize what Jesus Christ became so that he can infuse in us the very resurrection power of himself. The very love of himself, the very compassion of himself. You may feel like compost, but that's a good thing. It gets us down to a place where we become broken. And God breaks it down and turns it into something very good, fertilizer. Then he uses us afterwards to nourish another plant. The Lord sees you, my friend, and loves you. Now, I believe that this text, the Lord had me even read this text this morning, because the text I sent to him, the Lord says, speak this as part of your message. So you need to hear, those of you that need to hear this, as also a text to you from the Holy Spirit. The Lord sees you, my friend, and loves you. He wants you to come to him with your compost, rejected, lonely, and hurting heart. Then Jesus will begin to heal your brokenness and turn that area into a fertile garden to bless you and give you his peace. Scripture tells us that in life we will face heartbrokenness, difficult times, hurt, and yes, even sorrow, which Jesus, your Savior, bore on your behalf. The good news that we celebrate this time of year is that Jesus came, experienced life as we do, with all of its ups and downs, good and horrible times. Then on the cross, all the sin and evil and pain and suffering and brokenness and horrible things that we face in life were placed upon him, and he willingly took it to save us, to heal us, to redeem and restore your life back to God as your Father. So we can have and experience some of heaven's joy, goodness, peace, heart healing, and Father God's love in the now, in this life. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? My friend, God is for you.
He's not against you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. God is for you. He's not against you. He stacked the deck in your favor by sending Jesus to the earth for you. Jesus' life, the brutal, painful sacrifice of his death, the brutal cross that he faced, and the glorious resurrection was on account of sin. Not to condemn us, but to take upon himself what we deserved and to liberate us from all of it. So we may experience Father's love in this life and then to be with him when we depart and go to be with him when we die. The very first thing Jesus said when he began his ministry, that the Holy Spirit came upon him to let everyone know that there's some good news for you, which we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the very first thing that he said that he would do for people would be to heal their brokenness. See Luke 4, 18 and 19. Why don't you take a few minutes right now? Read these scriptures and say this prayer. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are struggling and who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads. Jesus says, I will give you rest. I will put my yoke upon you and you're going to learn from me. For I am gentle and humble and you will find rest for yourselves because my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious or stressed out about anything, but rather bring it all, bring all your requests to Father God in your prayers and petitions, and afterwards along with thanksgiving. Then the peace of God, which exceeds all understanding, will keep your minds and your hearts safe in Christ Jesus. My friend, pray something like this. Now you listen to this, and if you need to repeat this in your heart right now, then go ahead and do so. Father God, it's me. Put your name in there. Mark said that I should talk with you, so here I go. You know everything about me, my life, my family, what I've been through. It's been hard, very hard. I haven't come to you as often as I should, so please forgive me of this. Thank you for your great love and the loving concern you have for me and my loved ones. I bring to you my worries right now. Bring to him your worries, your cares, your burdens, your hurts, your screw-ups, your brokenness, and your loneliness. Jesus, I give you my sin, my failures, and all my mess. I turn from them right now, and I choose to believe upon you, Jesus, because you took them upon yourself to liberate, to pardon, and to set me free. Jesus, you said, if I come and offer them up to you, you will take them, and in their place, you would give me your rest and peace in my heart and in my mind. Thank you for loving me like this. Father God, I now offer up to you myself. Here's my life. I am now looking to you as my heavenly Father. Father God, I thank you for hearing me and demonstrating your love for me at this moment, because you sent Jesus for me to be my Savior and Lord in and over my life. Thank you for providing me forgiveness of my sins and completely washing them away and giving me Jesus' life and Jesus' victory. I am ready to begin experiencing your love
and your peace and rest and guidance that you have for me right now. Just expect that right now to come upon you. I thank you for hearing me and for hearing me out and answering my prayer. Father, please continue to make yourself an ever-increasing reality in my life, to my loved ones, and to those I encounter. Help me daily to walk in your presence and grace. I'm asking all of this in Jesus' name, with a grateful heart and much love. In the name of the risen Lord of glory, Jesus. Amen. You see, I can't do this. I'm in excruciating pain. And I said, Holy Spirit, take over my fingers. Because there's somebody who's hurting. There's somebody who needs ministry. And who says that you can't use this as a vehicle of ministry, a vehicle of celebrating the risen Jesus Christ to a person who has a need at the moment when it was inconvenient? Paul said, and the Word of God says, that we're to be instant in season and out of season. We're to be ready. We're to be ready to give the hope that we have of Jesus Christ. And at times, we might say, well, how can I minister when I'm in this condition? How can I say something when I'm feeling like this? Because it's not about your feeling, and it's not about the place you're in. It's about the place that Jesus Christ occupies inside your heart. Because we're told in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 28, that the stone was rolled away, and inside that tomb was empty. Empty. Jesus isn't there, but he's now within you. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, the mystery that was hidden from the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The heart that was once vacated without God, the emptiness of your life, when Jesus Christ resurrected, came out of that tomb, now you are to give him his room inside your heart. Amen? This is our wonderful Lord here, even right now. You know, when we just take a moment and just think about this is the day we celebrate this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. The cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. And Jesus seated at the Father's right hand. It all speaks of what he has done for you and where he's taking you. He has given you an access today. Jesus Christ has provided you an access back to God as your Father, so that you can know him. Because it says in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. Can we put that verse up there when you get a moment? This is eternal life. You see, we know what we have experienced, the gift of eternal life. We've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've received the gift of eternal life. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But this eternal life that we have received gives us an access to Father God once again that we were cut off from when Adam and Eve sinned and they were moved out of that garden, and that has spread to everybody. We lost that communication to God as our Father. And the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ has secured for us by his blood has given us the ability, and this is eternal life. God wants you to know him today in a deeper way. I've come to know him this past week in such a deeper way. And he wants to bring you to a place of knowing him in such a deeper way. Like I said, don't look at vessels. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus this day. Let him become greater than all your problems and all your fears and anything that you're going through. He knows how to fill in your valleys. He knows how to lift you up when you're down. He knows how to heal troubled hearts. He knows how to deliver you from whatever is binding you. Because he wants you to know him. Know who? The only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How is your knowing of God working? Are you growing deeper into him? Is he speaking more real to your heart? Is he working right where you're at? Are you able to hear his guidance? Are you able to hear his words of comfort? Are you able to rejoice in the life of God that dwells within you? I am. Hallelujah. I'm not the same person I was when I was here last time. I am not that same person anymore. And if I could just go over here to John. Most of us know John chapter 11. Jesus' friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus takes his sweet little time getting to him. He gets word that he's first sick and Jesus doesn't go. And so Lazarus dies and they wrap him up and they stick him in a tomb and they seal it up. And then Jesus goes after 4 days. And there's some things here that Jesus says to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And as Jesus comes in verse 20 of John 11, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary stayed seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. How many of us have had similar questions? Lord, if you would have only showed up, where were you, Lord? Why is this happening to me, Lord? If you would have just showed up in the time of my difficulty, if you would have just made yourself known, this wouldn't have happened to me, Lord. See, he knows all your questions, and it's okay to come to him like that. It's okay to come. Don't hold it back from him. Let your heart be open. God is not afraid of you saying things like that to him. Was Martha afraid of making her heart known? Was Martha afraid of even accusing Jesus? If you would have just come a little bit earlier, none of this stuff would have happened. And we wouldn't have been dealing with all this heartbreak and all this sorrow and all this mourning. Things would have not have been as they are right now. Where were you, Jesus? Hey, let's get real here, people. I mean, I know some of you, the difficulties that you're facing even right now and your questions of your whys. But I tell you what, there's one who's conquered all the whys. There's one who's conquered our so-called time delays. All of our, I don't understand, or why this is going on. Or why was this person introduced into my life to give me such a bad taste? About life. About people. You know, there's a time in my life I just was done with people. How about you? People can be messy. You know that? People can be messy. But then I have to look at myself. Mark, you were a mess too. God was patient with you. Yes, Lord, you did say you give me patience as part of the fruit of the Spirit. So help me become more like you. Amen? So look at here. So don't be afraid to say some of those things. Don't even be afraid at times, you know, to just allow that expression of anger even at times. I don't understand. Why is this happening, God? Sometimes I think as Christians, we feel that we have to have this preconceived, you know, look on about ourselves that everything's going fine when it's not. It's okay to allow to, if there's something within you to vent, you got to get it out. If there's some sort of nastiness going on inside of you, don't hold it in. Release it to Jesus because it's already been nailed to him on the cross and his blood has already covered it. So why are you still holding on to it? Well, pastor, that's sin. Then confess it, get it out. Amen? Hallelujah. God has already taken care of the problem, so why do you still let it fester within? Amen? Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him. But even now, I know whatever you say or whatever you ask of God, God will give you. I hope that's where all of our heart go, that even after we vent, even after we vent. But I know you still have the answer. I know you are the answer. I know you have secured everything that my life needs, Lord. Amen? And look what it goes on here to say. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What comforting words is that? I know what's going to happen in the future, but I want him here now. How many of you would like some here now changes? I know I'm going to be with you forever, Lord. I know I'm going to inhabit eternity. I know what it says in Revelation 21. There's a new heavens and a new earth. But what about life now? Right? But see, there's a Jesus for life now. There's a Jesus for your life right now. There's a Jesus for your Lazarus. There's a Jesus for your deadness. There's a Jesus for your I don't understand. There's a Jesus for your stinketh. Your stinking thinking? Your stinking mouth? Huh? How about sometimes our stinking hearts that think wrong things? Or our stinking actions? Hallelujah. They even said, he stinks. He stinks, Lord. Guess what? I stunk. I even stunk a little bit this past week. I'm sure. Let me just look around here and see if I see some vapors coming up from anybody here. Huh? And don't look at me all smug like you got it together. Jesus has it all together, and he's the one who keeps us together. Amen? So I won't stare at anybody too hardly here. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you just allow those words just to sink in your spirit right now? Allow that newness of life, the resurrected life, the power of his resurrection, the power of his love, just to fill your being even right now. These aren't just words in a book that's almost 2,000 years old. These are life that are be speaking to us today. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes, he who puts his faith in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you have that assurance this morning? Do every one of you here this morning have a present faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're walking out to the best of your ability by the grace of God, that you know if you were to breathe your last breath, boom, I'm going home to be with Jesus. Do you believe that? And if not, then deal with that today. Deal with your Lazarus area today. Deal with that stinking area of your life today. Well, if I go forward, then everybody's going to know that I stink. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, it's between you and God. Who cares if you're stinking? Right? Get rid of it. Let God put some spiritual Febreze in you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me, whoever's alive and continues to believe in me and put their faith in me, it says, you shall never die. Do you believe this? No, wait a second. I know a family member that died. I know other people that have died recently. How can he say we'll never die? Your spirit has been reborn. The body is just our suit. Your body is just your outer clothing. Your spirit and soul is who you are. You don't ever die. You don't ever die. As long as that you is new. Have you been made a new creation in Christ Jesus? Is Jesus Christ the Savior and Lord of your life even right now? Does his word just compel you? Does the Spirit of God draw you? Are you hungering for more of the things of God so that even when you do die, you don't die? I die, but I don't die. That's so weird, isn't it? You know, because people in the world just think you were just absolutely fruitcakes at times. My body drops off, but I'm not dead. Why? To be absent from the body. I'm absent. Absent. Bye, body. Bye. Absent from the body. To be present with the Lord. But just to know that one day my spirit and soul, that if I happen to depart and go home to be with Jesus before the resurrection of the just, the first resurrection, or what we refer to as the rapture, that body, that when that trumpet blows, did you see that jacket move just now? But it's going to be resurrected body. It's not going to get old. It's not going to get tired. It's not going to wear out. It's going to be a body just like Jesus' body. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. That you can have health. You can have restoration, and you can have healing, and you can have the presence of God, and he can mend you right where you're at, spirit, soul, and yes, body. Amen? Hallelujah! I get excited about Jesus. I get excited about this day. Do you remember the first day when this was the day that the Lord has made? We remember what Jesus Christ has done, and we're celebrating this day, but do you remember your first day? Your first day. Do you remember your first day? When you called out on the name of Jesus, do you remember the first day of your salvation? How sweet and how lovely and how powerful it was. The day that you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were forever changed. Do you believe that day? Because that was the day that you rejoiced and you were glad in him, what he has done. But you know what? We can have a continual, ongoing days and days like that. He wants to make himself that real to you. Amen? Praise God. Can you have a day like that when tears are going down? Can you have a day like that when you don't even want to be here anymore? I know there's some of you that you go through some of these times that, you know what? I just wish Jesus would come and take me. And before you say first Jesus to come and take me, why don't you say, Jesus, first come and take me over? Make yourself known to me, Lord. And look what it says here. She said in verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe. Do you believe this? That's my question here for you this morning. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Are all of you here today a believer in the truth of who Jesus is and that he's here for you even right now at this moment? Jesus, make yourself a living reality by the Holy Spirit to all my brothers and sisters. We can all come in a little bit closer than we are right now, Lord. We can all move in, Lord God, just a little nearer to you. If we'll just be real today, not care about anybody that's in front of us, to back of us, beside us, but look to you, Jesus. Do you believe this? And her response, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has what? Come into this world. Let me just say this today. Have you allowed Jesus to invade your world? I'm talking about your worldliness, your carnalness, your everyday living, the problems that you're facing, the decisions that you have to make, the fears that may come upon you with decisions that you have to make. Can you exchange those fears for faith? Can you exchange the, I don't know, I'm kind of uncertain about this, I'm even a little bit timid about this. Can you exchange that for a, you know, Lord, I'm going to believe your word and I'm going to believe your promises. That you're not a God who leaves me and you don't forsake me. That you journey with me and you're in me. Because greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And so if any of you have any fears, uncertainty, you don't have any peace in a certain area, then you can have it today. And let me just drop down here to this. In verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. He stinks, for it's been 4 days. Then Jesus said to her, didn't I not tell you, didn't I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? How many of us are still moved by our senses, by our feelings, by our mind, by our emotions, by things present in the sense realm, by things that we see, sense knowledge, carnal knowledge, instead of faith in God knowledge? Did I not say, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? God is trying to get your thinking to his thinking, for his ways to become your ways and his thoughts to become your thoughts. Because we have thoughts that are not God's thoughts. We have ways and things and choice that we make in life that are not God's ways and God's choices for our lives. And he's wanting you to experience the divine exchange today. Jesus took upon himself all the carnal life and all the wrong thinking and all the sin that leads us to those things so that you could believe and hear from him, and hear his word, and hear his promises, and that you would see and experience the glory or the pleasing heart of God to you. Let me just finish with this. Now when he said these things, verse 43, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. If all of you would just look at me real quickly here. He knew this guy's name, and he knows all of you by name. That's how personal he is. You've heard me say this before. He doesn't go, hey, you. hey, man. You know, he doesn't call you butthead. You know, he doesn't call you idiot. He doesn't call you stupid. He calls you by your name. He calls you, and when he calls you by name, it's with love that he calls you. It's with love that he draws you. He draws you to himself, even right now. He calls you by name. And he has all called every one of you by name. He knows all of you. He knows everything about you. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you. Yeah, there's nothing that he doesn't know about you. Okay, so if you think you're hiding it, you can hide it from others. You can perfume it all you want. You can cover it all up all you want. You can put makeup on all that you want. Let me look around. A lot of you don't wear makeup here. But you can try putting on another face, and you can try putting on a smile, and you can try putting on your best clothes. But he knows you. He knows you. And he calls you by name, right where you're at. But you know what he says? Lazarus, come forth. In his stinkiness, in him being bound, in him being tied up, he calls him forth as he is unto himself. Jesus says, you by name today. He calls you to himself as you are, by your name. And then he'll use the body of Christ to do this. After you've come to know Jesus, and he who had died came out. Isn't that nice? He gives life to your death. Bound hand and foot and grave clothes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, I loose them. He says, loose him. And what? Let him go. If we could just hear this morning. Jesus has called you by name. He takes you just as you are, but you need to be taught the word of God. God has placed people in the body of Christ all over this planet to start cutting off all those things that have bound you. Because when we first come to know Jesus Christ, it's usually a first initial experience. And then God is going to use the washing of the water of his word to start cutting every binding, to start changing the wrong thoughts to his thoughts, to start delivering you and setting you free of things that may have happened in your past, memories and things that still try to come up and play with inside your mind. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. So we have an ability in Jesus Christ to have everything that's behind us pre-Jesus, or maybe even when Jesus, even after coming to know Jesus and some difficulties have happened, to have all of those things brought to a place of forgetfulness and a complete renewing of him in those areas. But he's going to use people that he fills and ministers his word through them to start cutting off those bindings. So this is where God is wanting to take all of us. But the first initial step today is the cross. The empty tomb. And let him fill your room. Amen. Oh, Father God. The question that you asked Martha so many hundreds of years ago about you being the resurrection and the life, and that anyone who would believe, put a present faith and trust in you, not just for salvation, for healing, for restoration, for life and for living, for getting questions answered, Lord God, and decisions that we need to make. For living life here on this planet, Lord God. You just didn't save us and throw us down here, Lord God, like two dice. And whatever those dice come out to, that's going to be your lot in life. And so many people, Lord God, look at life with snake eyes. They look at life in a defeated way. But it says that you came to bring us life, and so that you could bring your life in its fullness within our life now, today. You secured a reality for us to experience in the now, Lord God, in the present, before we get home to be with you. And so I'm asking, Father, for your ministry to my brothers and sisters so that they can say that this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I've been made new in this area. God has spoken to me in this area. He's calling me out of my darkness. He's calling me out of my cave. He's calling me out to where I have taken seclusion in, wherever that place of seclusion is. Where do you find solace? Where do you find a place to get rid of your problems when it's not with Jesus? Those are caves, and all they're going to do is bind you. And Jesus is calling you unto himself today, and he says your name.
as that text I sent to my friend. So Jesus calls you his friend today and says, come to him. Come to him. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much. And we say, I believe. I have put my faith in you as the resurrection and the life. And that you are resurrecting areas within my life, even right now, Lord God. And I choose to love you. I choose to know you. I choose this day, Lord God, to walk with you. I choose, Lord God, to hear you more than I have before. I choose, Lord God, to serve you and to make you known. I choose, Lord God, to learn of you. I choose this day to be ready, Lord God, and to grow as much as I possibly can in you while I'm here, and to be ready, Lord God, for when you come for me. I choose to live this day and every day as this is the day that you have made. And I and all of us here, we will rejoice and be glad in you. Can we just stand right now and just say, thank you, Jesus.